to Matthew chapter 7 as we proceed in the Sermon on the Mount. And we will pick up in a new section here. And for the next 2 weeks, this Sunday and next, God willing, we will examine these verses and their impact upon us. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter into it and through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. What does this mean? Father, do teach us the meaning of this passage. We need your inspiration and you to open our minds to understand it, because I know there's even more here than I see. And I pray, Father, that you would minister individually to each person who hears this, the word that you want them to receive, the word that Jesus preached. So inspire us and teach us and help us to make choices, the right choice. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout this wonderful sermon that Jesus gave, Jesus has talked about and described to us the blessings of being in the kingdom of God. In Matthew 5, he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God." Jesus also described to us the challenges of living in the kingdom of God in this fallen world. He said to us, "Blessed are you when men persecute you, when they say all kinds of evil against you and falsely accuse you. You're blessed." So he said there are going to be challenges. Last week we learned that he has called us in chapter 7 to administer and to give the same mercy and the same love that he has given to us as we judge others. Now Jesus in his sermon comes to a critical point. For he did not give this sermon just so people could say, "Oh, that's interesting. Oh, isn't that nice?" Now Christ comes to a pivotal concluding area of the sermon. And he challenges his audience to choose. He challenges his audience by saying, "Enter the kingdom of God." He said, "Narrow is the way that leads to life, and broad is the way that leads to destruction." And he says, "Enter that narrow gate." In other words, choose life. Was Christ being narrow-minded by saying, "Enter the narrow gate, because only a few will find it, and that the broad way that many go leads to destruction"? Was Jesus being too narrow-minded? Did he not need to be more pluralistic? Pluralism in religious context means that there are many ways to God. And here Jesus is saying there's only one way. I remember this past week having a conversation with a young person who asked me, "Are you a Christian?" After me telling them some things about life. "So you're a Christian?" I said, "Yes." And so the person said, "Well, you know, I believe that there are many ways." And I didn't comment. But I said, "You know what? I believe that this is the way. I believe that the other ways do not work. And this is what it is meant for my life." But in society today, when it comes to religion, we're told that we need to be open-minded. We need to be, is another word, an I word, inclusive of everyone. That there are many ways to God. Buddhism is a way. Hinduism is a way, another way. Islam, Judaism. In fact, there are many Christians who believe that Judaism is a legitimate way to God. In fact, the majority of church-going Christians believe that Christianity and that Christ is not the only way. That's the majority today. Do not believe that Jesus is the only way. But yet Jesus says that he and his way to enter is to come through him. And I'll show you that in a moment. In fact, it was quoted during the song service. That he is the way, the life, and the truth. In verse 13, Jesus says in Matthew 7:13, enter. You know, that just isn't a suggestion. He says, you know, kind of if you want to, or, you know, maybe. No, it's in the imperative. You know what an imperative is? Young people, you've learned that in grammar and English, right? What's an imperative sentence? It's a command. Clean up your room. Wash the dishes. Parents sometimes tell children that. Jesus tells his audience, enter through the narrow gate. It's a command. And therefore, my message is the same to you. Enter through the narrow gate. In other words, choose Christ and live. Choose Christ and live. I want to kind of bring you out of pluralism into singularism. The singularism of Christ. And I'm not going to spend the sermon trying to prove that Jesus is the only way. Jesus didn't try to prove that. You know what he just said? I am the way. He did not say, I am a way. I am a way amongst many. But I am the way. And this, I believe, is what he is saying, to enter the narrow gate that's not broad. Let's look at it again. And I won't have time to say everything that I believe is here, this sermon, nor the next. Well, the next two we're going to cover as much as we can. I just want to deal with one word today, and that's enter. And I put it in the imperative, but let's read it again. Enter, or we could use the word choose. Choose. Enter, choose to enter the narrow gate. In other words, it's kind of exclusive. For wide is the gate. Oh, we get kind of everybody can go through there. And that is very popular today. And broad is the road. We could call it Broadway. That leads what? To, did somebody creep in there and put destruction? That the way of the many leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it? Now, this does not mean that Jesus, nor should we, have a better than thou attitude. That we should look down on people who have a religion that is Hindu or Muslim or Judaism. We should not look down upon them. We should not think that we're any better. For we're all sinners. Christians are sinners. Muslims are sinners. Jews are sinners. Hindus are sinners. All in need of a Savior. And the question is, the Savior is what makes the difference. We're no better than anyone else. Are there many ways to God to be saved? Or is there one? Why did Jesus say, enter the narrow gate? For many there be that find and go through the broad gate. The purpose of this sermon is to show that you have a responsibility to choose. We come here every week And we hear the word of God, and sometimes we can just let it fly over our heads. And we do not take it personally. When Jesus gave that sermon, there were lots of folks there, and they heard it. But he wanted them to know that they had a responsibility to choose. Not to go their merry way and say, wasn't that nice, or I learned something today. God didn't bring you here just to learn. He brought you here to choose life, to choose Christ. The living begins with the choosing. Even if you say, well, I've chosen Christ as my Savior, but do you live that way every day? Because life is full of decisions. Do you make the easy choices, the broad way? Do you do what everybody else is doing? Or do you make hard choices, narrow choices, which are required as a disciple of Christ, as we'll get into next week? All of living starts with a choice. God calls upon us to make the most important choice of your life. It's not the school you go to. It's not the person you'll marry. But it's to choose Christ. He is the only way. That means to trust Him, to depend on Him to save you. But perhaps you think, well, maybe I don't need saving. We'll talk about that later. And maybe I won't make a choice till later on. Who says that you have later on? Today is the day of salvation. You don't know if you have tomorrow. And I'm not trying to scare you into a decision, whether you're here in this audience listening to this sermon or you listening to it over the internet. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just being real with you. You don't have tomorrow. And whether you realize it or not, you've already made a choice. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I'm going to show you as we go along. Life is about choices. Now, some will say, well, if God is sovereign, we know that God chooses and elect his people from the foundation world. That is true. But there's also human responsibility. And one does not cancel out the other. They are harmonious, even though you can't understand it. You say, well, why do I have to choose if God's already chosen me? Because God commands us to choose. And those whom He's already chosen will choose. And their choice makes a real difference. You say, but how can, if God is sovereign and He decrees everything, how does my choice make a difference? I cannot explain that to you, but the Bible teaches both divine sovereignty and human responsibility, and your choice makes a difference. That's just the truth of it. There are many examples of that in the Bible. I won't take the time to turn there. I've preached this to you and turned there many times before. In Genesis 50, we know, 48 through 50 actually, we know that Joseph's brothers chose to sin against him, sell him into slavery in Egypt. But Joseph also declared, God sent me here. Now, wait a minute. They sold him. They chose to sell him into slavery, and God also chose to send him to Egypt. And when he confronted his brothers, he said, don't be mad. I'm not mad at you. In other words, I'm paraphrasing it. God sent me here. And he said, you meant it for evil. Your choice was for evil against me. But guess what? It was God's choice. God meant it. God decided it for good. Divine sovereignty, human responsibility. I can't understand that, Pastor. Don't try to. You can't understand the Trinity. But there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and just one person. Three persons, one being, I should say. You can't tell me about gravity. You can only explain it to a point. You can't tell me about the universe and how it all exists. Oh, you can break it down a little bit, but there are many things you can't understand because God's ways are higher than ours. So therefore, it's a matter of faith. But there are always choices. From the very beginning, God set before man choices. Real choices. There's always going to be two choices. You may think I've got many choices, but you don't. You only have two choices. Although it's broad and there are many pluralistic things in it, it's only two choices you have. There's only right and wrong. There's only a path to life and a path to death. There's only two people on the face of the earth. The children of God and the children of the devil. And there are only two kingdoms that exist. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of the adversary, Satan the devil. Real kingdoms, there are only two. The question is, which one are you a part of? You say, because I have not decided yet, I'm not a member of either one. We're going to get into that in a moment. Because there is a default setting. You know, your computer, you have default settings. It automatically goes that way. Guess what? You're either a part of the kingdom of God or part of the kingdom of Satan, and it's all determined by a decision. Your decision. Adam's decision. Remember back in the Garden of Eden? God created this garden and he had two trees in it. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? See, these two things. And God told Adam and Eve, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, else you will die. There are always two things, one leading to life, one leading to death. But of the fruit of the trees of the garden, you may freely eat of the rest of them, and including that was the tree of life. And they were given a choice. And they chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that leads to death, and God told them that. This is the same thing that Jesus is telling them. Enter the narrow gate that leads to life. For the broad way, the easy way. And it will always be easy to go the other way. You know why it'll always be easy for you to choose the other way that leads to death? Because it's broad. Everybody else is doing it. Listen to me. They're everyday choices. Everybody else is thinking that way. Everybody else is doing that way. The society is built that way. There is an evil spirit called the devil that is ruling and influencing society that way. I'm going to show you that in a moment. But you can choose. And then there is the narrow way, the hard choices, to do what everybody else isn't doing. As I told a young person one time, here this last week, a group of young people, it is broad because it's fun. Everybody's doing that. But it doesn't work. It leads to destruction. And anybody can do that. Anybody. But narrow is this way. And it leads to life. And it works.
It works. It leads to life. But all those decisions will only be empowered only if you make the most basic of decisions, and that is to choose Christ. For then he will empower you to go against the stream and to live a life that truly goes to life. Adam and Eve chose the other way, and they died. And therefore, the default setting became death. The default setting became the choice for all men to be in the kingdom of darkness. Jesus enters the scene, and he says, choose life. But there were echoes of his coming, and the echoes of this choice throughout history. I remind you of Elijah in the Old Testament. Israel was following the broad way, and they were worshiping Baal, an idol that represented the kingdom of darkness. You know what Elijah told the people? The same thing that Jesus would tell them hundreds of years later. The same thing I'm telling you today. How long? This is from 1 Kings 18:21. He says, how long will you halt between two opinions? If God, if the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. We're all called to make a decision, whether you realize it or not. And the default choice is the kingdom of this world, led by the king, Satan. Notice that Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God, and he is the king, and he's inviting you to come. Enter. Enter the straight gate. Come with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And let's read about that other kingdom that is the default kingdom that every child is born into. Every human being is brought into when they're born. Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Dead. See, this is about life and death. In which you used to live. He's writing to Christians. He says, that's the way you used to live. When you followed the ways of the world, that broad way, that broad gate, that wide gate. When you follow the ways of this world. And the ruler of the kingdom of the air. There's a ruler. Who is your master? You can't have two. You can't say, well, I haven't decided yet. You have. By not deciding, the default decision is to be a ruler and ruled by, shall I say, the kingdom of the air, this spirit. This spirit of unbelief. This spirit of rebellion. I'll do it my way. That Broadway is filled with people who are saying, I'm going to do it my way. And they're full of confusion because there's so many ways they bring up. But there's only one way they're going, and that's the way of death. All these other philosophies, all these other promises, all these other ways of life, they have the same head. That's Satan. Leading into the same destination. Where are you going? Oh, you say, I'm in school, or I'm on my job, and I'm trying to get up, I'm trying to go ahead, I'm doing this. Where are you going? Have you ever stopped and said, where am I going? Oh, I know we don't think that way. And even if you're saved, do you ever stop and say, what am I doing? We get caught up in a routine, even in Christianity. What am I doing? What kind of decisions are we? See, you can just go on automatic. Like you drive home every day from school or work, right? And you don't think about, well, I turn left here or I turn right there, right? Those of you who drive, do you think about
When you go to the store, you go up to Kroger's or wherever, and you come back, you think, well, now see, I got to follow the map and I got to turn. No, it's like you're an automatic. That's the way it is when you are a part of the kingdom of darkness. You're just being led. But by your flesh and about the kingdom of the air and by everybody else, you go with the flow of the traffic. And even as Christians, sometimes we can just go with the flow and not stop thinking, am I following the Lord? What choices am I making right now? Let's continue on. Who followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air and the spirit that is now at work in those who are disobedient? What spirit are you following? What spirit are you of? Because if you're not of God's spirit, guess whose spirit you're of? I'm not saying you're possessed, but I'm saying you're following that spirit, that way of life. Is it the Holy Spirit? Even as a Christian, do you follow the urging and the leading of the Holy Spirit or your flesh? That's a choice. And it's no excuse. I'm just trying to talk straight with you today. We make so many excuses for our flesh. Well, you don't understand. Now, God is merciful. God is gracious, and He understands. But we make too many excuses. You are either choosing life or death every day. You make decisions. Do I brush my teeth today or do I not? You make millions of decisions, perhaps thousands a day. It's more realistic. But have you ever thought, is this the will of God? Am I following God or just feeling what I want to do? And notice, all of us used to live among them at one time, all of us, myself included. And still, even to this day, we follow it. We're talking about choices. We're talking about freedom. We're talking about life. We are talking about death. We follow the lifestyle of gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature, the King James says, children of wrath. The NIV says, objects of wrath. By nature. There used to be a group or a song. I think it was a group called Naughty by Nature. Anybody ever remember that group? Maybe back in the 80s or 90s? Naughty by... They were right. We are naughty by nature. We talk about choosing, and it comes to our minds, do we have free choice? Yes. You're free to do what you want to. But what you want to do is either enslaving you are freeing you. Again, you have a choice. But whatever you choose will either enslave you. You're free to smoke dope. You're free to get drunk. You're free to have sex outside of marriage. You're free to steal and lie. But what you choose will either free you or enslave you. Do you think a person, as I was talking to some young people this last week, they said, you know, I can do whatever I want to do. I'm free. They didn't say free, but I can do whatever I want to do. I said, yes, you can. But you will be enslaved to what you want to do by the choices you make. You're free to holler fire in the midst of a crowded theater. You're free to do that. But you will be locked up. And you will become a slave to your own choice. Well, you can go to jail for that. As one student said, I can say whatever I want to say. I'm free to say what I said. Yes, you are. But your choices will also make you a slave. You see, we are not truly free because we are slaves to sin. Jesus said, I have come to set you free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In other words, choose the Son. And the Pharisees, when they heard this, says, we've never been slaves to any man. Which was a lie because they were slaves in Egypt. But Jesus was telling them that they were slaves to their own selves, to their own gratification of themselves, as slaves to sin. Jesus says, but if I set you free, you will be free indeed. But that is a choice that you must make. Which kingdom are you of? Jesus said, enter my kingdom. He wants us to enter his kingdom. And he's the only gate. He's the only portal. I like science fiction. I think you do too. And they have many topics and movies like Stargate and other depictions of gates in movies that if they step into this gate, then they are transported or translated or transformed to another area and sometimes to another being, right? God has given us a gate. A gate that will transport you out of this world. A gate that will transport you out of the kingdom of this world, even out of the slavery of your own desires and your own flesh. In Colossians, in chapter 1 and in verse 12. He says, Paul writes, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. And in the King James it says, he has translated us. Beam me up, Scotty. No, beam me up, Lord. Out of this world, I choose you. Out of the ways of darkness. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and translated us, brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. God's heart and God's desire for you is to choose life. That's why Jesus says, enter. He says in the imperative, please enter the narrow gate. Choose life. We read at the beginning of the service in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moses, speaking for God, says, I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Choose life. He wants you to choose life. He says, come on, please come. That you and your descendants may live. That's the heart of God. That's the desire of God. He does not want to see anyone perish. He says, choose. In Matthew, let's just read this. And then it'll be the last scripture we'll read and we'll conclude. Matthew chapter 23. In verse 37. Jesus ministered 3.5 years, starting with this Sermon on the Mount. And he wanted them to come, wanted him to have life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. In Matthew chapter 23. As he looked at the people, after all of his years of preaching, those 3.5 years, he saw that they continued in their same ways. That they continued in the way, the broad way that leads to destruction. And he lamented, he cried out, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Notice he lays the responsibility for their intransigency, for their rejection of him squarely on their shoulders. But you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate, the way of destruction. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. To echo Jesus, Matthew 11, 28, he says, come to me. Come. Notice his heart. Come. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my burden is light and my yoke is easy. Come, and I will give you rest. Choose Christ and live. That is the message. And he says unto us, enter. Father, we are weak. We're slaves to sin. And we need a Savior. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for so loving the world, so loving us, that you sent your Son to save us, to rescue us, even from ourselves. Father, even though it is our responsibility to choose, we need you to regenerate our hearts so that we will desire you. And I pray for that regeneration to everyone who's listening. I pray that daily that we would make choices to trust you and to depend on you and to walk in the narrow way, no matter the cost, and not go the broad way that leads to destruction. We depend on you and we ask you to save us in Jesus' name. Amen.